And what I discovered, because I've already mentioned these words, protection and blessing, and yet these seem to be the two main functions of a covering. That is that it helps to keep out bad things, and it helps to bring in good things. So it is a source of blessing and well-being, but it's also a source of protection. Now, it's not everything, and perhaps we'll come back to that point later. It doesn't provide everything a church needs, and yet it's a very, very important thing. So what I was discovering was that spiritual covering had a power dimension. That is, the Holy Spirit was at work, somehow establishing the presence of Christ, the protection and the blessing of Christ over the church, but that this covering, a spiritual force field, was produced through having an anointed leader in place, other leaders in harmony and unity and in prayer and in love with that leader, the church in turn in love and unity with the leadership. And so there was something of this blessing and grace and favor and protection of the Lord over the whole thing. Now, properly understood and, you know, properly developed, every Christian is meant to enjoy that kind of thing. Every church should somehow establish leadership and honor leadership, and the leadership of churches should walk in faith and grace and love and harmony and be seeking God and very prayerful, so that this grace, the grace of spiritual covering, is established over the work of God everywhere. This is what makes a work a true work, that the grace of Christ is really present in the work. Now, there is no Bible word that stands out that describes this especially, although there are some allusions to it in Scripture. Scripture refers to it as Scripture does talk about a tent, about a covering. I mean, in the book of Revelation, it says he who sits on the throne will spread his covering over them. And the Isaiah spoke about the canopy and the glory and so on and so forth. We'll look at those Scriptures next week and interpret them. This week I'm just trying to give you an overview of what it is. What I discovered in those early years was that spiritual covering was real. It had anointing, it had power, there was grace at work. It wasn't just a human arrangement at all, but a divine arrangement, but it was very important that this thing operate through anointed leadership, whose lives were knit together, and the result was, you know, huge blessing. We had very, very good years as a result of that. And the church grew, and there was a lot of blessing, a lot of happiness, a lot of healings, and finance was good and all of that. But some years down the track, 8 or 9 years later, some division arose within the leadership of the church. The way it began was that there were three guys in particular who knew something that was a threat to the church and that they cooperated with, but they did not tell the others. I won't go into the detail. At the time, I didn't recognize it for what it was, and we just worked to kind of patch it up, patch up relationships, keep everybody happy kind of thing. I didn't realize that what they'd put in place were the seeds of destruction. That this division, this independent action, was actually perforating the spiritual covering and eventually would break it. It actually led to things happening in the church that broke the unity of the leadership. And the consequence of that was there was a flood of destroying spirits that came into the church. And that meant we had to work harder. All of a sudden we found, you know, some marriages struggling and some unusual sicknesses. So there was more counseling. There was a lot more prayer. Pastors had to work harder to meet need, all because the covering had been broken, if you like, and so there's a lot more spiritual warfare, a lot more internal pastoral care was required. Now, the covering is very real, but what we're talking about is a local covering. And in a moment, I'll describe the fact that I was to discover as I went on that there are actually three levels of spiritual covering. I mean, at this stage, I just knew there was this one, and it's so valuable, you know, one must indeed. work to build it and preserve it. What is it? It's a living expression of the blessing and the protection and the presence of Christ. But it's very important our lives are built together. Prayer is important, the unity is important, as I've already mentioned, but it must be established through leadership that's anointed. Can't just be anybody in leadership, must be called to Christ, anointed, appointed by him, and so on. And this means, of course, that the senior leader of any such work must have the primary anointing, the grace to be the leader of the work as appointed by the Lord. In other words, it is very much connected to a person and then to a group of people. So it's not just an organizational thing. I mean, be clear about that. Just because we say, oh, we've got a church, or just because it's one more branch of a denomination does not necessarily mean coverings in place. Because the institution does not produce the kind of covering that I'm speaking of. It does produce something. I'll come back to that in a moment. But if you would have the kind of covering that is full of grace, has this fullness of power that I'm speaking of, it must come through relationships, and it must begin with an anointed leader who has something from Christ for the purpose. Now, I've kind of, by telling you these stories, covered a whole lot of points that normally we'd take one by one, including the fact that the covering must be maintained. And if something happens to harm that, well, then it's going to be readdressed. Because every Christian family really should have the benefit of living under the covering of a church. And you want to make that as rich and as wonderful as you can. For every individual believer, such as yourselves, the covering is best made effective in your own lives by fully participating in the life of the church. So you're consistent in your attention, in your worship, in your giving, in participation in prayer, in support of leadership, in honoring leaders, in praying for leaders. These are the ways in which you participate so that you're more fully receptive of and abiding under this blessing. Now, I was to discover, as I said, that there are three levels of covering. But to begin with, I only discovered one more. In other words, I had come to some understanding of the kind of spiritual covering you can have in a local church. But after our covering became diminished and we had to work hard to put something back in place, I wasn't satisfied with the outcome. We did rebuild the leadership. We did come back to a place of unity. In fact, we had a lot of unity within the church after that. But we seem to be in a period where it wasn't quite satisfying. It wasn't doing everything that I thought it should have done. And this is when I sought the Lord. Now, the year for this was about 1999. I sought the Lord as to why the covering produced by church leaders did not seem to be meeting all our needs anymore. And in short, the answer was that grace was moving in the world. How do we describe this? With the passage of time, the Spirit of God was shifting the church worldwide from functioning under purely pastoral teaching anointings to functioning under apostolic and prophetic anointings, and our church had made already quite a journey in that. And when I sought the Lord about the covering and why it wasn't now doing everything it ought to be doing, he said we needed to put apostolic covering in place. In other words, there was to be another level of covering. And yes, this was the phase in which we were moving away from just functioning institutionally to functioning relationally. In other words, not only were we to have in place the love and the prayers and the unity and the lives built together of local leaders, but we needed to be looking to other leaders in the body of Christ as well, in this case, an apostle. And by this time, the Lord had brought me into relationship with Chuck Clayton, whom I've written about in my books. And Chuck was just a great, great, big-hearted man, a very mature man. And if you meet people who claim to be apostles, you know, you meet Chuck, you realize, ah, no, this really is a mature man of God. And the Lord said to me, he's the one. Now, what was interesting was I was slow to learn this lesson. And so the Lord was giving me dreams and visions and words, and until I finally understood what it was all about.